Well, good morning. Good to see you guys today. You guys are sounding great, man. Praising the Lord. It was awesome. I like being up here in the front row. But last week, we started a little tradition. I don't know if you remember if you were here at the 10 o'clock service last week where we did a little Iowa Hawkeye wave to the camera. But last week, I didn't tell the camera guys, and so they just kind of like freaked out on us. But yeah, thank you, camera guys and camera women back in the back. So can we do that again and say hi to our church family at home? Right there, the sound booth. Y'all just say hi. Church family that's at home and isn't here with us, we love you, we miss you, we hope to see you soon. And a couple other things I want to thank. There's a group of ladies who, if you went into the children's area and it just smelled clean, you know what I mean? Like you walk in and you're like, wow, this place is clean. There's a group of moms that has been cleaning our building and cleaning the nursery and the kids area, and just thank you so much to those moms who do that. If I said that sentence and you're like, oh man, I wish I could have been here to clean that. They could always use more help, so just let them know. They would love to help you. And the next one is, man, we had a youth event this weekend. Any youth in the house? I know there's Wade, my man. They had Legacy Camp this week, and they had a chance to learn about discipleship, and then they served the church by just cleaning. So if Fabuloso is just the smell that you get when you came in, and Lysol, it's because they're a little overzealous in the cleaning department. But man, they served this weekend just cleaning and making things happen around the building. Man, isn't that psalm beautiful? Psalm 111 that we read, it just says, praise the Lord, right? That's the very first part of it. And in the Hebrew, the two words that kind of combine us, one is Haleh and one is Yah, right, for the Yahweh. And of course, we say that all together, right, as one word of singing hallelujah. And so as we think about hallelujah, as you think about how you praise the Lord, the question is going to be, how do you position yourself to praise the Lord? This week I had an opportunity to kind of get away on Tuesday morning. I took the staff and we went out to Sanctuary Farms, this little place out kind of east of town. And we spent just 3 hours alone kind of out in the country with just our Bibles and a journal. And man, it was such a sweet time of just isolating ourselves away from everybody, away from each other, and just spending time with the Lord. And the Lord just in such a powerful way showed up and gave me a message for you. And this is what it is. God's real. Do you believe that? Like, God is real. I sat in this little alcove area with trees all around me, and I was like a little kid in a candy shop because God's presence just showed up, and it was just this amazing, I wasn't like Moses and like the glowing face kind of moment. It was just one of those moments where you just knew God was there. And it was just such a special time and just sitting there and just being in the Lord's presence. And then he was like, okay, start reading my word. And it took me to 2 Kings. So can you turn back to 2 Kings with me real quick? And it took me to 2 Kings chapter 17. And I wasn't sure why he was telling me to go there, because, you know, we're supposed to be talking about praising the Lord, and we're supposed to be talking about all these wondrous works that God has done. And it took me to 2 Kings 17, starting in verse 7. And it says this, and this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of the Pharaoh, king of the Egypt, and had feared other gods, and had walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. And they set up for themselves pillars and ashram on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings at the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord carried out before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, for which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this. Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I have commanded your fathers and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. And I went to that verse and I was like, Lord, what are you saying? And I just began to confess sin. I began to go, Lord, what are the high places that I have in my life. You know, a high place was an area up on a hill where they would set idols or set different objects of worship. So there was always before the people. So it was kind of looking down upon them from these quote-unquote heavenly places, and that everywhere you walked, you could be in an eyeshot of these idols that were before them, and ashram poles that they would put up to celebrate these false gods that were living in this land before Israel and Judah came into it. And the question that kept coming to my mind was, what are the idols that I have in my life that maybe I put up in a special place that bring me comfort, that serve as my source of truth? Like for me, one of the things that comforts me is food. I love food. I just love it. And I know you guys can tell that I love food. But it becomes my comfort at different times when my comfort should be the Lord, right? And so what are these high places? Because we're talking about this statement that has been our mission as a church, loving God and transforming lives by following Jesus. And are we willing to follow Jesus and leave our idols behind? Are we willing to get out of the view of these high places to maybe let some people get in and knock those things down so we can follow after Christ? And it says here in this next verse, but they would not listen. The prophets came, right? The people were leading them towards God. The word of God came, and that they would not listen. They were stubborn. Don't be a mule, right? We talked about that last week. They were stubborn in their hearts, and they weren't willing to give up their functional gods for the one true God. They were stubborn as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. And so as I started just praying, I started building and stacking rocks and making, like, putting some different symbols on there, like, Lord, let me give this to you and give this to you. And then he took me back a couple more chapters to 1 Kings chapter 19. And when you go back to 1 Kings 19, you see this guy Elijah, right? And he's now in the cave, right? And he's just come off of Mount Carmel, one of the greatest victories of the Lord over the prophet of Baal. And we see, just how can you not be there and see that God is real? Fire comes out of heaven, burns up the offering, and the danger is sometimes we don't realize God's real. And then all of a sudden we step back in and we isolate ourselves once again. And here's what he was teaching me out of this. So if we look in verse 9 of 1 Kings 19, so there he came to a cave, and he lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he's feeling isolated, he's feeling alone, and he's feeling like no one loves me, nobody cares for me. And God invited him, hey, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And we know the story, right? Many of us have heard this story, that the winds came and it started breaking rocks in half, but God was not in the wind. Right? And then the earth began to tremble and it began to break, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Right? And then the fire came and just ravaged all around him, but the Lord was not in the fire. Where was the Lord? He was in the whisper. He was in the quiet. But listen, if we were to pray and ask God to show up, we would want him to show up like that wind, or show up like the earthquake, right? Or show up like the fire. We want God to show up and be like, boom, I'm here. But God has said, I will show up to you personally, because I care for you in the quiet. So the question is, are you willing to carve out time to be quiet before the Lord? Remember back in the day when I first became a Christian, back in the 80s, we called it quiet time. You had quiet time that you got away and you were just quiet. And now we have so much noise around us, but man, are we willing to be quiet so we can hear from God, right? And I know that you want every story inside of Jesus to just end up super happy. Because think about that. God showed up in such an amazing way to Elijah. And what was Elijah's response? Was it repentance? Was it like, Lord, you are so good. I will follow you all the days of my life. What was it? It sounds kind of repetitive, doesn't it? He kind of goes back and he says the same thing, right? God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Sounds like a broken record. You ever feel like that in your walk with Christ? I keep praying the same things over and over again, right? We do that. But listen to what happens to Elijah. What does God tell him? Hey, I want you to go anoint a new king. Hey, I want you to go anoint a new prophet. Because you're retired. Right? All of a sudden, Elijah has been walking faith with the Lord. And he's like, Lord, I don't want to hear it. I'm the only one. I. And the Lord's like, okay, let's pass the baton to someone else. And Elijah goes away, right? He's not willing to humble himself and to see the works of the Lord, and he becomes ineffective, and we miss. If we're not careful, we're going to miss the Lord and his works and what's going on around him. What we wish would have happened was what happened in Psalm 111, that when the small voice came, that Elijah would have praised the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for showing me who you really are. Question, do you believe God's real? Kind of. Okay, let's try it again, all right? I come from a youth group background, right? And so I'm kind of expecting you, are you willing, if you won't declare it here, well, we're not going to be able to declare it out there, right? Is God real? Do y'all believe that? Yeah. If you don't believe it, man, spend some time with him this week. Ask him to show it and be ready to respond to it. So back in Psalm 111, let's go back there. He says, praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah is how he starts it. And then he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. So verse 1 is this truth statement where he's going to challenge us to praise the Lord, and then he's going to just vamp for a while all the praises of God all the way throughout the rest of the chapter. So let's break down this first statement and see what is this truth that he's declaring, right? The praise of the Lord should do this to us. I will give thanks. So give thanks. This is a personal statement for us. Are you willing to give your thanks? Now, in order to give thanks, we have to recognize what God has done for us. And then we have to recognize who is the source of all of the good things that have happened to us. God is the source of all things good. Right? He's the Father of lights. He's the one that controls all things. He's the one who loves us in all of these ways. Are we willing to give thanks to him in all of the good things that we get? Question, are you willing to give thanks to him in all of the situations that you get into that aren't good? Are you willing to give thanks in all circumstances? Be joyful always. Are we willing to step out and do these things? Who's the source of that? I give my thanks to the Lord. You know, one of the things I loved about the service today is, man, Scripture was just dripping off the stage today. People just reading Scripture and quoting Scripture, and this is the source of truth. Let's give thanks to the Lord. With anything that you hear from God's Word that encourages you, we give that thanks back to him. And then he tells us how to do that, right? He says, give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. So if you're going to follow God, you have to follow him with all of your heart. Now, we could get really fancy, and we could dive back into the Hebrew, and we could say, you know, that Hebrew word for whole is the word kol, which means all, whole, totality, means everything. So everything in your heart you need to give to God. Or then you could go into the Hebrew for that second word, heart, which is levava. I can't say it very well. You have to listen to it on the little speaker thing on your internet, Blue Letter Bible. But it means your inner being, your heart, everything about who you are. So if you want to follow Christ, you have to leave the high places behind and follow with a united heart, not a divided heart. And that's difficult. Because the reason that they're up in the high places is because we like them. Because they have, quote unquote, worked for us at some point. And so we have to give thanks in all circumstances with our whole being in order to follow after Christ. It kind of reminds you of Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Right? And then it talks about, and it's often quoted in the New Testament, right, that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, right? And the New Testament adds strength to it, and mind, and add a little bit there. But we have to follow the Lord with all of our heart, all of our being. And what does that create in us? Look what it happens next. It says, verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." So the second thing is you have to do it with all of your mind. So if you want to follow the Lord, all of your heart, and then secondly, with all of your mind. Now, what is the function of the mind? Well, it's to study the works of the Lord. That's what it says here in verse 2. "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him." So your love for God should spur you on to study this book. You should have a hunger and a thirst for God's word. You should want to dive in and discover all of these great and amazing and mighty, majestic things of splendor that God has done for us. His work should spur us on to do that. So I want to give you an analogy of that. Let's say that everybody's seen a car. And let's imagine that in that car, right, the gas pedal is joy. In other words, when you have joy, you push the gas and you go. You have the green light to go. Then your mind, in this analogy, would be your brake pedal. It's what slows you down. Says, hey, maybe we don't need to go after that, right? And then you got to have some self-control to be able to steer the car and put it in the direction that you want to go, right? Now, question, has anybody ever tried to ride in a caravan before? With like 3 or 4 or 9 when we go to youth camp vehicles and you had to follow somebody? Okay, so you understand that scenario, right? If you're the person in the front, you can't just live with joy, you know what I'm saying? You can't just be like, speed limits? There are no limits. And you just like, pew! And you're the leader, right? And you're like 90 down the back roads of wherever. Awesome. How does that go for the people trying to follow you? Not so well, right? Yellow light means go faster, and then you just go through and everybody else is stuck at the light. That's not good if you're the person in the lead. But it's also not good for the person in the lead to grasshopper! Not good, right? Not good. You can't be the person that loves the gas so much that you never pay attention to what's behind you. You can't be the guy that slams on the brakes every time anything comes in your way. You have to have self-control. So if you want to be the leader, you got to be able to look in the rearview mirror, pay attention to what's in front of you. Think about the people behind you as you begin to lead them as they follow you to your destination, right? And the same with our example of Jesus Christ. We want to follow him. And as we follow him, we invite people in, hey, come follow me as I follow Christ. And we want to follow after him in these ways. But we have to follow him with all of our heart, but also with all of our mind, so that we can pay attention to the things that we're doing and the example that we are to a world that needs examples of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 3. If we're going to study God, then we need to know, what is God going to show us when we study? Look what it says in verse 3. "Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever." Here's the first thing he's going to show you, his majesty. He's going to show you his glory. You're going to get to see it in the things that are made so that, man, you are just blown away by how good and amazing God is. This word splendor, this word majesty, these words glory, these are words reserved for our God. And where do we find those things? The next thing is we find them in his works. He's going to show you his works. All right, look what it says in verse 4. "He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful." Man, aren't there some powerful words in this psalm? He's going to help you remember his works of grace, his works of mercy. You know, we sang in that one song, "You're rewriting my history, that who I was before, I no longer am because I've died with Christ and I'm living again. Right? And it talks about our destiny, that God has a plan for our life, that he didn't just make us by accident, but he has a plan for our future. He knows our steps. And so we rest in that. We see that work. It says he provides food for those that fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Remember in the desert, as they were wandering around, God provided food from heaven, manna that would show up for them, that daily bread that we need day by day as they trusted in him. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. So if I would have had a highlighter, I would highlight verse 7. Okay, because this is the verse that if you want to just put your life on some verse from today, you could use the praise the Lord and give thanks. Verse 7 is another verse that you could say, man, I just want to remember this verse. Do you believe that the works of God are faithful? Do you believe that God works all things together for the good of those who love him? Do you believe those things? Because the hard things that you're going through, God is doing something through it. If you don't believe that, you're going to get thrown around by the waves of the sea like we've been talking about. Getting the current just washing you away. But yet we believe that God's ways are faithful. Do we believe that God's ways are just? He is the judge. Now, I know this is not a popular thing to be preaching in 2020, but he is the judge and he cares about the things that you do. He loves you through them, but he cares. He cares about, are you doing the things that are good and worthy and trustworthy? Or are you doing the things that are bad? He cares about those things. And we will one day give an account to him, but the good news is we have a Savior that rewrites our history. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ who has redeemed us. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why we keep coming back. Because as soon as we sin, we're kind of disqualified until Jesus Christ comes in and his blood speaks a better word for us. And that's what we rest in, is this beautiful idea that Jesus Christ is not only faithful, but just. God's words are faithful and just. His works are faithful and just. And then it says his precepts are trustworthy, that the things he's written in this book, you can trust. You can build your life on the foundation, which is the word of God in Jesus Christ. That's where we need to rest, right there. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness, that we perform these amazing works, that God does them through faithfulness and uprightness, and we get to be a part of doing that with him through our faithfulness and our uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever. And so we've seen this word covenant kind of show a few times throughout the verses. And as we think about this word covenant, it's this Old Testament word. We sometimes today would call it something like a contract, right? A covenant is like a contract, right? So through this covenant, what he's saying is that a covenant is really between God and us. And there are several of them throughout the Old Testament. And one of them is with Noah, right? And he gives a covenant to Noah in chapter 6 and then again in chapter 9, saying that I will not destroy the world again in the flood. And this is a one-handed covenant. This is where God is saying, I will do this for you. Regardless of what you do, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to destroy the world again. And then Abraham comes along in Genesis chapter 12, and then in verse 15 and verse 17, he confirms this covenant that he gives to Abraham, that he's going to build out of Abraham a people for his own, like the sands of the seashore, that Abraham is going to become this people. Now remember, Abraham and Sarah hadn't had children, and he had to wait patiently 25 years for God's promise to follow through and to come through. But he made a covenant with him that he would bless the world through the people of Israel. And then he made another covenant with Israel with the law, the Mosaic covenant, where he said, all of a sudden from a one-handed to a two-handed covenant, where he said, you do this and I will bless you. Have no other God before me. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. And he goes through these commandments and he says, if you do that, I will bless you. And it's a two-handed covenant where if we do something, God will do something. By the way, those two-handed covenants don't usually work very well. we're not very good at our part of that covenant, just being honest, right? But the good news is that covenant didn't just stop there, because then he gave David a covenant. Through your line, it will be a king forever that comes in the lineage of David that will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It'll be the one that restores all things. And then it gives us a new covenant in Jeremiah 31, where it begins to prophesy about this new covenant where your iniquities will be gone, your sins will be forgiven. And it's a beautiful covenant that God has given us. And that is another one-handed covenant that God has said, I will do this for you. And so we see these covenants, and what are those covenants? Echo the redemption of God for his people, the hope that we can have in our world today. We could all use a little bit of hope in our world. And then he says this line that is just a beautiful line. It's one of those lines that, you know, we should probably yell out. It says, holy and awesome is his name. Holy and awesome is the name of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, Yahweh. And then verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And so here's the key. If you want to walk in this transformed life and you want to follow Jesus, the key to that is having a fear of the Lord. You have to understand who God is and walk in that. Now, when I say fear, I don't mean fear like some tyrant that has just conquered the land, is going to put us in slavery and beat us and hurt us and kill us. That's not what we're talking about, not fear of something like that. We're talking about the fear that you have of your father, or the fear that you have of someone who loves you and wants the best for you, but is willing to discipline you and willing to put you in the place for you to be all that you can be in Jesus Christ. One is a fear of terror. We don't have to have terror, because we know where our eternity is held in the hands of Jesus Christ. But we have to have a respect for God as our Father, that he knows better than we do how we should be living our life and how we should be walking in those things. Do we have that healthy fear of the Lord? Don't fear the things of this world, but fear the one who has the second death, right? The one that holds our eternity in our hands. I think a verse that really illustrates this well is in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, therefore, let us be grateful. So you see some of the echo of the thankfulness that we should have in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Question, do you believe this statement? That we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Not be shaken by the winds of the world, not be shaken by disease, not be shaken by whatever is going to happen in our culture today, but we have a kingdom, God's kingdom, that is firm. A firm foundation to live our life on. It says, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. With reverence. With awe, because his name is awesome. For he, our God, is a consuming fire. That our God is a God who's going to come in and begin to wreck our lives, but he's going to leave it in a way that is more like him. That refining fire that's going to make us bring the impurities to the top so we can take them away, so we can be who we can be in Christ. So here's what I want you to pray about this week as we prepare. The next 3 weeks we're going to spend all talking about prayer. And we're going to spend getting ourselves right with the Lord, because then we're going to start the book of Mark. And then we're going to be walking just as Jesus walks. Are you ready? As we see Jesus doing things, we need to be doing those same things if we're going to be like Christ. So we're going to spend 3 weeks kind of getting ourselves ready, just diving deep into prayer. And during those times over the next 3 weeks, there's going to be times for you to respond, like altar calls. There's going to be times for you to respond praying, responding by getting together with people in this room that maybe you have had things against that you needed to get right with. So this week, what I'm asking you to do is prepare your hearts to hear from that. Decide, is this a statement? Do you want to love God? Do you want to see your life transformed by following Jesus? Is this something that you say, yes, I want to live that kind of life? And then we're going to prepare to dive in deep to know him, to hear from him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, your name is holy and awesome. Lord, you are a God that reveals splendor and majesty. Lord, you are an incredible God. Lord, I thank you that you are so real. Sometimes we get caught up in the business of life. We forget to look around and just realize, Lord, you're real. Help give us some time this week, Lord, to get away, to spend some time alone with you so that we can hear your voice, so we can understand your ways, so we can just feel the love of Christ deep in our souls and deep in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement of Psalm 111 and how, Lord, it just celebrates the works and the nature of our God. Lord, you are so, so good to us. We praise you. Help us as we walk out this week just to live with joy. Help us this week, Lord, to get our hearts set and ready to hear from you as we begin to follow after you. We pray all this in the beautiful, majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen.